This is Side Podcast episode 64. He's more than happy to bring it on. Coming up this week, it's Mosley versus the News of the World, Mosley versus Eccleston, and Mosley versus the FIA. Hi everyone, welcome to The Max Show.
Oh, I love the way you sell these shows to people. You know, you just lost half of the audience with that one line right there.
Well, I don't blame them. I don't want to listen to it either.
Well, that's not going to be a great show then, is it?
No. I should preface this show by saying that we are not going to talk about Lewis Hamilton at all today, but that doesn't mean we don't like him.
We did get some grief in the comments after last Sunday show, didn't we, that possibly we hadn't mentioned Hamilton enough.
Well, it turns out if you'd only listened to the last two shows, you could get the impression that we don't like Hamilton
because
all that much.
Because we took the mickey out of him, then we ignored him. Yeah. However, we're not going to talk about him this week either.
No.
But don't get paranoid. We're not going to talk about any of your favourite drivers this week because it's all going to be about one man.
It's all about Max.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for Max Mosley as he is taking a stand against the News of the World by taking them to court in France for invasion of privacy and defamation of character. I'm not entirely sure why he's doing it in France because he's British, the paper's British, and the story came out in Britain.
Something to do with the FIA headquarters being based there, and I guess he thinks the French courts will be more sympathetic to his cause. Although, in the first round of injunctions, they did suggest that it was nothing to do with them, because the News of the World wasn't really a prominent newspaper in that country, and he lives in Monaco.
It's been a bad week for Max Mosley, as he has admitted he felt humiliated by the revelations about his private life. In papers issued regarding the legal issue we just mentioned, Mosley was said to be gravely distressed and embarrassed about the scandal. The stories were demeaning and humiliating, and it was very upsetting for his family.
Aww.
It's been a good week for Max Mosley, as he obviously feels fairly confident about this week's meeting with the FIA. It's been revealed that he turned down a compromise deal that would have seen a vote of confidence for him on Tuesday, but only if he stepped down in November. It's been a bad week for Max Mosley.
Max Mosley again.
It's all about Max this week.
All of good week, bad week?
Yes.
It's all about Max.
Yes.
Go on.
It's been a bad week for Max Mosley as 24 member clubs of the FIA have written a joint letter asking him to step down already. They represent America, Singapore, Germany, Finland, Canada, Brazil, Denmark, France, India, Japan, the Netherlands, Sweden, Hungary, Israel, Austria, Spain, Belgium and Switzerland.
Anyone else?
They were also joined later in the day by Russia, who said they supported the other club's statement.
Love it.
News and views.
The Max Mosley story is really one we've tried to steer clear of. Aside from the initial mockery of the incident,
guilty.
We didn't really want to get too caught up in the story because I watch Formula One for the motorsport,
yes.
Not for Max Mosley's private life.
No, absolutely not.
However, the story is due to come to a close this Tuesday.
Yeah, right. How naive are you?
What do you mean?
This is just the beginning.
Once things are announced, they always die down.
Oh, is that right? Is it? Is it case closed?
They should do.
Uh-huh.
We will know whether Mosley is staying or going. So before we talk about the ins and outs of what we'll be going into...
You did not just say that. Choose your words carefully, young lady.
Oh, man. What will be going into that decision? Here's a quick timeline recap of the Mosley revelation story.
This is so difficult, isn't it? It's so bad.
What a bad situation we're in.
Okay, so basically a timeline. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
A quick reminder of what's happened to get us to this point in time.
Yeah.
Our story begins on the 30th of March, 2008.
The News of the World report with pictures and video that Max Mosley was involved in an orgy with some prostitutes dressed in prison outfits. They say there are Nazi connotations.
2 days later, and it's April the 1st.
Mosley offers a half-hearted apology and says he does not intend to step down.
Another 48 hours later, 3rd of April.
This isn't Jack and Ori, you know.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to speed it up a bit?
Just 3rd of April.
3rd of April. 03, 04.
Yeah. BMW, Mercedes, Toyota and Honda all question Mosley's decision to stay as president of the FIA, and Mosley responds saying he knows why they're upset, but there was no Nazi involvement and he doesn't think he's done anything wrong. The same day, Mosley calls for an extraordinary general meeting of the FIA and the Bahraini Crown Prince says he didn't really want him to turn up to the race.
4th of April.
The German and Dutch automotive clubs ask Mosley to reconsider his role as president and Max begins a lawsuit against the News of the World to try and get the video taken down.
5th of April. It's a long timeline, this, isn't it? The next day, 5th of April.
Mosley again states there was no Nazi implication in the scandal and he doesn't feel he's done anything wrong, whilst AAA, the USA Automotive Club, joins the cause for him to step down.
6th of April.
The News of the World send the tape to the FIA Senate and former F1 driver Jackie Ickx says Mosley should quit.
7th of April.
Niki Lauda says Mosley should quit.
9th of April.
The High Court refuses to take the video down in the UK because although they feel it is an invasion of privacy, it's already too well known for any injunction to have an effect. The date for the EGM is set as the 3rd of June, and Mosley announces that any damages he gets from any of his lawsuits will go straight to the FIA Foundation.
April the 11th.
New Zealand and Canada speak up against Mosley. United Arab Emirates offer support, saying he hasn't broken the law. Britain say no comment.
Go Britain. April the 14th.
Damon Hill says Mosley should quit.
April the 16th.
South Africa says Mosley should quit. Max announces he'll be attending the Jordan Rally event.
18th of April.
Mosley takes his video ban lawsuit to France.
19th of April.
F1 driver Webber says the sport cannot afford the Mosley scandal, therefore saying he should quit.
I thought we weren't going to bring drivers into this show.
Well, it's in the same sentence as Mosley.
So. Oh, it's related to it. Okay, yeah. One driver. We'll see if anyone else has got an opinion later on. 20.04.08.
Despite all the calls for his resignations, Max says he has received support and is confident of a positive outcome for the EGM.
21st of April.
Jean Todt gives Mosley his full support.
25th of April.
Mosley is invited and then uninvited to Israel, to which Max said he understood the withdrawal. He then announced his intention to attend the Monaco GP.
1st of May.
A Czech official raises the question of McLaren and Ron Dennis specifically being involved in a sting operation to try and exact some revenge on Max. Dennis strongly denies the claim.
4th of May.
Alan Prost says Mosley should be judged on his ability.
14th of May.
The Czech official apologises to McLaren, agreeing that Ron Dennis did not set Mosley up.
Right.
I can't believe it took 2 weeks.
Yes, to get that round. Okay. 16th of May.
It's revealed that Mosley won't be doing any official functions at the Monaco GP. He also issues a letter to the FIA club members saying that if they vote against him, they risk losing control of F1 to Bernie Ecclestone and his companies.
18th of May.
An MI5 officer resigns his position after it becomes apparent his wife was one of the prostitutes involved in the scandal.
21st of May.
Ecclestone says if Max wants a war, which it sounds like he does, he's more than happy to bring it on.
Ooh. 22nd of May.
Max keeps a low profile in Monaco and doesn't talk to the press. Gerhard Berger says we should judge him on his work, not his private life. And Bernie changes his tune and says there's no feud between him and Max.
23rd of May.
Ecclestone issues a letter to the FIA members clarifying some of Mosley's comments and saying he does not want to take over the sport.
28th of May.
Mosley begins legal proceedings against the News of the World in France for invasion of privacy and defamation of character. The legal documents reveal that despite his cool facade, he feels humiliated by the entire process. It also emerges that he has turned down a compromise deal that would see a vote of confidence at the EGM, but only if he left in November.
May the 29th.
24 clubs representing 22 countries, don't worry, I won't say them again, write Mosley a letter asking him to resign. He says no. Russia joins the 22 countries asking him to quit. And finally, someone in Britain stands up to be counted. The RAC say he cannot continue in the presidency.
And May the 31st.
Bernie Ecclestone joins the cause for Max to stand down.
Wow. Okay, now I'm up to speed. How come you get to do all the talking and I just get to do the dates?
Hey, if you want to do it again, with you doing it, that's fine by me.
Now I think I know my place in this podcast.
So what happens next?
We're recording this on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We were almost expecting some more revelations from the News of the World, and they didn't happen this morning. Nothing more to be said from them.
What kind of revelations? Like more stuff?
Maybe it would be a good time if they had anything else to bring out.
More videos and things.
Depends. Could be anything. If they had any more witness statements or anything like that, they may have decided to announce it today, and they didn't. So all quiet on that front. Therefore, we have 2 days. In 2 days' time, the extraordinary general meeting convenes in Paris, Tuesday morning.
People are already arriving, aren't they?
In Paris, yeah. The delegates, yes.
Bit early. Possibly. Want to get their seat at the front.
Well, it's a bit of a holiday, probably.
Yeah.
Some of them may not get to see Paris that often.
But aside from that, no one really knows what's going to happen on Tuesday.
Presumably the world's media, Formula One reporters, etc., will be standing outside the Place de la Concorde. I hope it's nice weather. There's no shelter out there. Don't want them getting wet. Some questions have been raised by the Times. On Ed Gorman's blog, they noted that the Times have raised some questions of the FIA. Do you have that list there? I forget what they are off the top of my head.
I can do more than just read, you know.
Ooh, sorry. We'll get to your opinion in a minute. Just tell us what the Times said.
Okay, the paper has requested clarification on a number of points, including the names of those eligible to vote.
This is because there's a question over who has and has not paid their fees within the last 30 days and may not be eligible to vote.
They want to know how the voting procedures will be carried out and who will count out the votes.
Let's hope it's not Diebold.
They also specifically asked how much the EGM is costing and from what funds the costs are being met, because they've estimated it as £1 million.
£1 million?
I know.
That's a heck of a booze cruise.
Also, GrandPrix.com has pointed out that if he resigns, another EGM will need to be called to elect a new president.
Yes.
Another £1 million.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Goodness me. So everyone's got to come back at some point in the future.
Yeah, no less than 2 months and no more than 4 months after the date of resignation. And if he is gone during that period, the FIA is run by the Senate president, who is Michel Bory of the Automobile Club de Monaco.
So we're assuming we know the result by Tuesday evening.
I think they're voting in the morning, aren't they?
Yeah. Do you think we're going to have to do another podcast Tuesday afternoon? Is it going to be that important?
I think it depends which way it goes, really.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he stays, nothing else to say, really. A bunch of controversy.
Yeah.
And that's about it. But if he goes, might be worth looking into.
Might be more interesting. And who's going to replace him and things like that.
Yeah, they might have some kind of transcript at some point in the future as well. Maybe we should wait till next weekend. Let's see.
Mm.
We don't want to mess up the Canadian Grand Prix, though, and get in the way of all that racing business.
No,
with all these politics. That's the thing.
So which outcome would you prefer?
What would I prefer? Or what do I think is going to happen?
Both.
Well, looking at the number of people who have come forward speaking out against him, it doesn't look good at the moment. However, he remains confident. He didn't take the compromise deal that was offered to him. Therefore, he must have a certain degree of confidence in his own success here. He wants to decide his own fate, and he must think that he's got a chance of doing that.
Yeah, but up until now, Bernie's always been kind of on the fence about the thing. He didn't really want to support him, but he also wasn't calling for him to go. But now yesterday, he's come out and said, I really wish he'd taken the deal in November.
And he said he would have supported him if he had done that.
Yeah.
I'm slightly confused by the whole Bernie Max vibe in this situation, because in the past, they tend to have supported each other, one occasionally playing good cop and one playing bad cop, and by working the two extremes, end up pushing the deal they want through.
How they get things done, isn't it?
Yeah, interestingly, this was being discussed by Ian Phillips during Free Practice 2 for the Monaco Grand Prix. I might have a recording, which we probably shouldn't play, but I'm going to play it because it's a really, really interesting insight from a man inside the paddock. And he alludes to the same thing, although his conclusion is slightly different from mine.
Yeah, I'm at a loss to explain it. It was kind of news to me, I have to say. I mean, you know, the two men have worked hand in hand for a long time, done great, great things for Formula One between them, and have been incredibly supportive of each other, have never really come out and had a go at each other. And if they have done, it was all part of a double act. That you knew something was going on, that they'd worked out between them, and this was the tactic to get what they wanted. The tone of what we've seen in the last few days is not of two people trying to hoodwink everybody else to get where they want to go, is it? It's
no.
Antagonistic.
Oh dear, sorry about those pesky cars in the background. Damn that racing.
Getting in the way of the political talk there.
Yeah.
A bit unfortunate. Antagonistic is the word.
Apparently.
And also, interestingly, if we look back to the beginning of the year, it was Bernie sitting beside Ron Dennis at the McLaren launch, which we suspected might have been to upset Max after last year's legal.
And obviously now they've moved back up the pit lane.
Oh, that's another thing that's going on. A potential saga between Max saying that McLaren should be at the bottom of the pit lane and Bernie saying, I want them in fifth position.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a power struggle going on there, and it may not be as friendly as it used to be.
Does it make any difference, though?
Well, I'm sure each of them has skeletons in their closet that the other may know about, although potentially Max has less nowadays.
Yeah, we already know all that.
He did about, but they don't want to rub each other up the wrong way, do
they? Oh, God. Don't say that.
Oh, okay. They don't want to push each other to the limit in case those revelations might come out, although we'd like to know all about them.
I really don't.
And I'd love to know a book. I'd love to read a book. You know how much we're looking forward to Nigel Stepney's book?
Yes.
I'm sure we look.
Bernie's will be just as good.
Absolutely. We'd be looking forward to that just as much.
Talking of politics, you're kind of being a bit like a politician. You haven't actually answered the question yet.
Which was what?
What do you want to happen?
Obviously, I want him to go. I wish he'd have gone on March the 30th. But I think now that he's got this far and he survived this long, I suspect he's probably going to see it right the way through the end and go under his own terms.
In 2009?
Yeah, even though everybody's against him, it looks unlikely. But he must have a plan. He must know something that we don't. We must have missed something along the way.
He keeps saying that he's got all this support.
Yeah.
And we're hearing that he hasn't
seen any of it, have we?
There must be something we don't know about.
Yeah, I think that on Tuesday the vote will go his way and he will see it out the way he wants to, and that's going to upset a lot of people. And then maybe more of those skeletons will come out of the closet.
I think he's going to go because I think he's quite useless now. I mean, he went to Monaco, but he couldn't do anything there. He didn't do any of the official FIA functions. He hid away from the media, from the public. None of the teams wanted to talk to him.
No, they wouldn't go to his meeting.
He was there. It was pretty useless.
Yes.
And he keeps getting uninvited from places. Uninvited from Israel. Don't come to the Bahrain Grand Prix.
He has the worst social life of all time.
It's right not now, really the image that the FIA want, is it?
No,
so I don't see how he can stay.
Well, we only have 48 more hours to find out. Exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat. Okay, so we actually said the whole show was Max.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Oh.
But For those of you that have managed to get this far, we're going to reward you with some feedback.
Yay. I'll tell you what, if it was up to me, I'd probably start listening to the podcast right here. It would be a very short show.
You would have skipped forward to this chapter.
To chapter selection, yeah. It'd be a really short show, but it'd be a damn good one.
I had a nice email this week from Keith. He said, I discovered you just before the season started, and I'm so glad I did. Brilliant, that's all I can say. Monaco was such a good race. I love it when there's loads of drama.
Me too.
I do have a question. You always talk about your fantasy league, but by the points that you all have, it isn't the same one that I'm doing. Where do I go to find the one you're in?
Fantasyracers.com.
I'm a bit late for this year, but for next, although I could start now and probably still take you.
Oi! That's a bit mean. He knows us too well.
I'm going to try and join you all on the live comments when I get the chance, and I might even see you at Goodwood. In the meantime, keep up the good work, and thanks.
Much appreciated, Keith. It's probably about time we did a refresh on the blog, isn't it, of how to join the Fantasy Racing League, because we always talk about it week in, week out, and it's not too late to join. You could join in the middle of the season and still
people are still going to get more points than us. I gave Keith the fantasy races details, and he has joined the league as Arona Racing, so we'll have to keep an eye on him and see how well he does.
I think he's going to be trouble.
Talking of trouble, Dank has been stirring up controversy on the Autosport forum.
He really has, hasn't he?
He left a message over there saying, just some friendly banter. I set up the Side Podcast League that is currently number one in the top private league with 297.8. Autosport F1 is second with 287.3.8. Not a lot in it at the moment, and I expect it to go to the wire all through the season.
Ooh, fighting talk.
Hi, this is Alex from Sofa F1. I just wanted to say, after the Monaco Grand Prix, I was really impressed with the two old pros, Kimi and Alonso, both apologising for crashing into some junior rivals. And it was nice to see at least they did actually properly apologise. Anyway, that was it. Enjoy the show. And keep up the good work.
Thanks for that, Alex. It is good to see drivers acknowledging their mistakes.
And somewhat unusual. It must have been smitten that Monaco water.
It's been a good week for voicemails this week, as we also had one from Rob.
Hi, Side Podcast. This is Rob. I'm just calling in to say my predictions for the Canadian Grand Prix. Although Hamilton dominated the Monaco race, I believe that Ferrari showed real improvements from last year, locking out the front row in qualifying. Their biggest mistake was strategy, weather predictions, and receiving the penalty in Raikkonen's case, not the speed or handling of the car. These mistakes wouldn't have ever been made with Ross Brawn. Because of all this, I think they'll be strong in Canada. Therefore, I'll put Raikkonen for the win. Hamilton second, as it's a great track for him, and Kubica third, as he'll want to prove himself after that horrific crash last year. I haven't put Massa in the top three, because I think he's going to start making mistakes again. Just to finish off, I want to mention the Goodwood Festival of Speed. It's great. This is going to be my fifth consecutive year, and I hope to see you two there. Nowhere else do you get so close to the cars. A few years ago, I got to sit in Raikkonen's McLaren, as can be seen in that picture I sent you. You also get to meet a variety of racing drivers from all eras. And even better, Hamilton will be there again. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Excellent voicemail from Rob. The picture that he's talking about of him sat in the McLaren, that's actually on the Enhanced podcast now. So if you look now, you should see it. Those cars are tiny.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't fit in one of them.
Hey, how rude.
Rob does have a point, though. Ross Brawn's services are sorely missed at Ferrari. And yeah, I'm sure had he been there, they may have won that race last week. Rob's predictions were very early.
Yes.
But it's not too late for anyone else to make your predictions. Give us a call on the voicemail and we'll play them in next week's show.
Of course, the number is 012128TRACK, which is 012128872225.
We love your voicemails. Keep them coming. Always, always appreciated. And much appreciated, Rob, for that one.
We mentioned last week about the Goodwood meetup, where really we're just going to wander around and see what happens. And people have started planning an Autosport meetup.
That's Autosport in January.
In January. So really the thing is, we've only just managed to look ahead
6 weeks
to July. So we can't really plan for January, but we want to encourage this kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yep. We haven't missed an Autosport in, what, 4 years, 5 years now? So we're almost certainly going to be there.
I'm sure we're going to be there. We just can't think that far ahead.
No. But if people want to sort of get together and organise a meetup, Autosport is a great place where you can sit in one place and meet everybody.
Absolutely.
There's a great food hall, loads and loads of chairs and tables. You can have a nice conversation and get to know those people. Unlike Goodwood, which is outside,
a massive field,
and sprawled across thousands of acres. So Autosport, definitely a meetup, and I'm sure we'll be there. And if you're interested in that sort of thing now, and you're planning what you're going to be doing in January 2009.
Yeah, it's all on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Talking of people congregating together, after we mentioned that the Side Podcast Canadian meetup was going to become the F1 Wolf Canadian meetup, No one said anything.
Aww.
So Milos said, great, it looks like I'm going to meet myself in Canada. That would be a great time for some self-reflection. Bless him. But then we had some more meetup comments. Drew Lidkia is going to be there. He left a Facebook message.
And he sent us some pictures, which we can put on the Enhance podcast now. So hi, that's Drew in the picture there. Yeah. Looking.
He said, I'll be at the GP sitting on the fence at the exit of Turn 7 working on a flatbed tow truck.
Hey, so exciting.
I'll be stationed right at the little underpass bridge. Kovalainen came to a stop right in front of me and we hung out with him while practice continued last year. And I got to pick up and escort the remains of Robert's BMW back into their garage after the race. I can meet up in the pavilion section anytime between events on the track.
And Dryden Sean Lewis also chipped in. He said he'd be there in Montreal from Thursday.
Yep.
It sounds like the place to meet is going to be in the pavilion, if anyone's around.
Sounds nice.
If you manage to meet up, do let us know. And also, we want to see all your pictures. Let us know all the gossip from Canada.
Finally, our last bit of Facebook news this week. Dan Brunel came up with the best game ever.
Awesome game. Love this game.
His initial post was, just answer this question. You know you're an F1 fan when? For example, you know you're an F1 fan when you celebrate all of life's achievements with a bottle of champagne sprayed all over the place. You know you're an F1 fan when you start the car, you swerve all over the road trying to warm up the tyres.
I do that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. You know you're an F1 fan when you get into an accident, you walk away in frustration, blaming the car for failing. I'm interested in seeing what you can all come up with.
Well, we put our thinking caps on because we can't resist a challenge like this. I came up with a couple.
You did. My favourite one from you was, you know you're an F1 fan when you start each journey playing the chain and celebrate reaching your destination with a short burst of your national anthem.
Well, that's obviously my favourite, but we had more submissions, didn't we?
Your favourite is your own.
That goes without saying, doesn't it?
Andrew Pegg said, you know you're an F1 fan when you fill your car up in kilos, not litres of fuel. Lou said, you know you're an F1 fan when you can commentate on a race better than James Allen.
I'd say you know you have command of the English language when you know that you can commentate better than James Allen.
Scott Woodwiss left one saying, you know you're an F1 fan when you pretend the upstairs landing and the curving staircase in your house is the Lowe's hairpin at Monaco, and you even mimic using a steering wheel every time you go down it. Don't ask. Right. Interesting. And a few more from Dan. He said, you know you're an F1 fan when you come to a turn, you think braking zone, apex, accelerate.
I do that.
Yep, that doesn't surprise me either. You know you're an F1 fan when you instinctively follow an emergency vehicle with its lights on, thinking it is the safety car. I like that one. The final one is from Rishi Dore. He said, you know you're an F1 fan when you subscribe to an F1 podcast on iTunes, listen to it as soon as each new episode is released, join its Facebook group, and then begin discussions starting with, you know you're an F1 fan when.
Oh, there must be more out there. We want more submissions on this one.
Yeah, make sure to visit the Facebook group and leave your ideas. Or if you're anti-Facebook, you can always email me, christine@sidepodcast.com.
Love it. Great competition.
Housekeeping. I was on the internet this week.
You were always on the internet. What are you talking about?
No, I mean I was on the internet live video of me.
Oh, yeah. You had your 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, it was about 15 minutes.
That's your lot now.
Yeah.
Time's up.
We were doing the Canada preview. We were recording it and we thought, why not give people an insight into how that works? Mm. So we set up a live stream.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, people got to see all the outtakes.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well. It's a little bit stressful.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad though.
No.
We might do it again.
Sounds like a good plan. We're doing a Canada preview video because obviously the race is coming up this weekend.
Racing?
Yeah, 20 drivers, 10 teams, head-to-head, lots of noise. It's all going off.
Wow.
And you know what that means? It means we've got live commenting coming up this Friday.
Yes, it's on a bit later, actually. It starts in the UK at 3 p.m. and it goes on until 8:30.
Wow, so anybody who's not been able to join us before because they've been at work, they can join us on Friday afternoon.
Yes, but don't turn up at 11 a.m. and go, where is everybody?
Yeah, that's true. Although, well, we'll still be there. We just go, hi, we're here.
Yeah.
We never leave.
We'll still be there.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it for this week. Keep an eye on sidepodcast.com because there's bound to be something on there on Tuesday, but then we're talking about Canada.
Can I just say that I am distressed and embarrassed about the scandal of a podcast that the stories contained within were demeaning and humiliating, and it was very upsetting for my family.